Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you meet everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
For the food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and your soul. I'm Melissa.
Hi, I'm Chantel.
And I'm still blue.
By the way, I love the eyeshadow. Yes.
I never wear blue, so I was like trying to actually give people something satisfying.
I love it. Blue and blue. Yeah.
I was worried it was going to be 80s, though.
I love the 80s. It's very daring.
Yeah, I took a chance today.
Mm. It's as bold as you are, which is good.
I don't even know how to take it. I was like, carry the one. I hope that's good.
I mean, that stands out. You stand out. It works.
I'm conspicuous.
It's a great thing. And it seems like, thank you to all of our, new supporters, our followers, everybody watching the show, listening Woo-hoo! To the show. You guys are awesome. You made our launch fantastic. There's been a lot of engagement.
There's been a lot of feedback.
Yeah, lots
and
of feedback.
You asked for feedback and they listened.
I want it. Yeah, I mean, you want it, right?
I mean, I think it's great feedback. I think I've heard some positive comments. My favorite comment, though, is that we're keeping it real.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I actually think that it's kind of brave of us to trust our audience because a lot of new podcasts tend to pander and say, please like me. Mm-hmm. We were like, look, this is what we're going to say whether you're here or not.
Pretty much.
And they actually responded to that. So I'm relieved because I wasn't going to change it. So it's good to know that there's a reason to continue.
Exactly.
You're like, I was going to do it anyway, appreciate y'all.
It's nice that they caught on immediately to what we were trying to do.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, I really think that it's important to have these long form discussions about topics that I don't really hear a lot of people really talking about from an intellectual standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like I had a thirst for it. So that was why I wanted to, kind of bring it to the masses. Today's episode.
Oh, well.
So I have a nervous laugh I do when it just came out. Yeah, today's episode is going to be childhood me would be very curious about what today is.
Well, let's just
my childhood heroes. It's going to be on the.
Oh my gosh!
What does that say about my childhood, though?
I mean, I literally have been wondering what today's discussion is going to be like.
Well,
like,
let's set it up with we are back again for another Dick in a Box episode.
It's my dick
Cue
in a box.
Cue the music.
Oh my gosh!
And
I do not approve of this name.
This name is
2-1. She was voted. Out
yeah, I was voted off the island.
Every single person that I like, I was like, so I'm thinking about doing this, frequent segment called Dick in a Box. Everyone falls the fuck out laughing because it's like Saturday Night Live. Like it's really funny. But what I was, when I thought about who our guest is, and of course we're gonna let you in just a couple of seconds.
So cryptic.
I know. I'm doing
like nervous. Like what?
I'm doing it on purpose. I'm doing it on purpose. I started thinking a lot about labels. The labels that society kind of puts on us. And I'm in the process of writing a book, and one of the chapters is called "Be Careful How You Introduce Yourself to the World." Mm. ... Because they'll never let you forget it.
Mm, that's so true.
And so I start thinking about labels that we kind of allow to be attached to ourselves, thinking that it's completely harmless, usually because we're younger. And then as we progress, in life and we grow, they start to feel, start to feel constricted by the labels that society has put on us, and that they just become antiquated versions of who we once were. But society's like, no, that's who you are, and that's who I am comfortable with you being.
Right. Yeah. Reinvention is hard. I know for me, I spent my entire life as an athlete. I was a basketball player. And then when I retired, I wanted to do other things, and I had to do other things because I wasn't playing basketball anymore.
Yeah, it's like shut up and dribble.
Right. Yeah. But people don't want to let you out of that box that they have gotten so comfortable comfortable with you in. Mm-hmm. And so they just don't know how to deal with you being more than an athlete.
Hi, video girl.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. Sometimes the label's not the issue. It's the connotation, right? Sometimes the label is accurate, but people bring all their stuff to the label.
Projection. Mm.
And so there have been times, I actually like all my labels. Whatever you call me, I'll be that, right?
Yeah.
But it's all the stuff people throw into the label that some tends to get on my nerves. And so it's just like, I'm a Black woman. Yeah. I love that. But I also know that that includes, let me not sneeze. Now I'm angry. You know what I mean? I think sometimes people are not just one thing. There's several things at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you might be right about this one label, but I'm 16 other things the rest of the week, and I need to be able to do all of them.
People don't want to let you.
Oh, no, no, they don't.
And you make a really good point about connotation, because speaking from my own, from my own experiences of being called video girl or video vixen or whatever.
Vixen.
There was a point in time in which that was, you know, like an aspiration. There was a point in time where that was given an enormous amount of respect, you know, and then circumstances that had nothing to do with me or any of the other girls, piracy, illegal downloading, video budgets hemorrhaging, and them having to come up with like a way to, continue the formula that was music videos, hot girls, cars, all the bling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, no, not Tip Drill. No, that was BET After Dark. That was never
because that changed
me.
Video girls for me. I was like, we brought an ATM card now.
But here's the thing is, and so in the background, one of my very good friends here, Adele Henderson, he is one of the two guys that started King Magazine.
Nice.
And we did this.
Oh, I see you. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we did. We participated in this documentary called Vixen, and it was the best documentary I have seen done on the subject, because it really, really flushed out the fact that the girls went from being placed on pedestal to being considered lower than prostitutes, and had nothing to do with them, and just the change, you know, like BET Uncut, and then just having these videos that were more pornographic in style. This is the connection was accidental.
Really,
but
the connection, Melissa? With the fingers?
Who our guest is.
I know, but still.
Well, there was times when a vixen, like, you guys were presented in a classy way.
Yeah.
You were the aspiration. You were the goal of women and men.
Yeah.
And then because of how the videos progressed to representing you, you made a great reference and it's like, that is amateur porn.
Yeah, here's the thing is, when it came to doing videos like Tip Drill, they're in a strip club with strippers.
Right.
Yeah. This is kind of what they do. So to have me, who was a video model, who was, you know, paid $5,000 a day to literally give good face, and that's it. I didn't even have to dance. Yeah. Versus
no twerking.
None.
Come on.
Versus $5,000 would be the entire budget. Like, you fast forward a couple of years, it was like a completely different. Yeah. It was a complete. The landscape had changed, you know.
Yeah.
But I digress. This isn't really about me. It's a good point in which to bring up labels, because our guest is somebody that I'm sure has walked around with a label that he might not have, you know, been very intentional about, you know, as an older man, you know, when he was younger. Sure, I'm sure it was great.
Right.
Yeah.
But I really want to find out. So without further ado.
I'm so excited. Okay,
we're going to bring Mr. Marcus into the room.
Mr. Marcus.
Hold tight. Okay, and we are back with our guest. Mr. Marcus is in the house. You're alive.
I am alive.
No.
Really, Melissa?
No.
That's how we start this? Crikey.
Do you want us to call you Jesse or Mr. Marcus? Like, what do you want
us
to call you?
I answer to both.
Okay. Yeah. So Jesse Spencer is the government. And
I always like to say that's my mother gave me that name, so not the government.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll get into, like, where Mr. Marcus came from.
Right. I'm going to call you Jesse, just so.
Okay.
I'm gonna call you.
Your mama named you Clay. She gonna name you Clay. She gonna call you. Okay. But no, there was a death hoax back in April of this year.
Yeah.
Somebody announced on Twitter Mr. Marcus had died. So here's some of the tweets. Bro, Mr. Marcus died having sex with a fitted on in his honor this week. That was an actual.
Whose voice is that, Melissa? I would like to know who Melissa is channeling. Bro.
That sounded like a Rodney right there.
It was some random guy. And then another guy said, Mr. Marcus tweeting, and we dedicating FAP sessions to him. Nigga ain't even dead.
Oh my goodness. Session. You know what a fap session is?
You know what a fap session is?
Oh no. Man, somebody draw Chantel a picture.
Fap.
Oh my gosh. Imagine when you're making
acting like you're seeing it.
That's your eye.
Right.
Listen, I have not watched anything like that in a very, very, very long time. Probably 8 years.
We'll get to that.
Wow. She
brushed up on some porn statistics today. So, how did the rumor start that you died? Do you even know what happened?
From the little research that I did, I thought they were trying to get it out on April Fool's.
Okay.
Because it came out on April 3rd. That's when I started getting the phone calls and stuff. So I figured they missed it. Yeah. And they were just kind of, that was residual backup. I don't know, something in the connection. And it came on the 3rd.
Right. So bad Wi-Fi is how.
Probably.
That is bizarre.
Did you get calls from your family and friends? I'm sure everybody.
You know what? I got calls from everybody but my family.
Why? We just saw Jesse. He all right.
Yeah, that's exactly.
We just saw him.
He's fine.
Okay, so you're alive. That's great. Okay,
that's the first question. Marcus is alive, ladies and gentlemen, and scene.
Yeah. So I started the show talking about labels. You know, some of the labels that we accidentally give ourselves, and then we carry them like a bag of bricks with us through the rest of our lives,
right.
Intentionally or not.
Right.
And so what I wanted to do was I was really curious to see what our the audience. Thought when right. I just put two words out there,
right.
Porn and porn star.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to read some of the results. Okay.
Nice.
And these are our followers and our listeners now. So I'm going to shout them out. At Hope Loves Sunshine said porn equals research and porn star instructional guide.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I'll take that.
We have a very smart audience, Mr. Okay. Marcus.
So
yeah, I sense that.
It gets interesting. At Cheeto underscore Puente, porn is a film genre, and porn star is an actor who gets paid to do what they do best on screen.
Mm. And off screen.
And off screen, sure.
You better stunt.
At Mad News Blog said a troubled background. Mm-hmm. Mm. At John Babos, sorry, dude. Whorish, underpaid, thankless job. I was like, fuck.
Wow. Oh, that was a lot.
That was harsh. At Nest the Best 40, porn equals sex, porn star equals prostitution with a contract. And at
prostitution with a model release.
What's that?
Prostitution with a model release.
Okay. At Life of Aleshi 01, free spirit feeding a carnal need that society has deemed deviant. Mm-hmm. So those were some of the things those were some of the things that people had to say when I just randomly said porn and porn star. Go. What do you think? I got like 400 comments. Wow.
Those answers are very 2019.
Yeah.
They're the kind of answers you get when John Legend is the cover of People Magazine as the sexiest man. Like they're very woke and, people listen to ordinary people and they're being very smart. Like I love that they're that smart. Mm-hmm. I think in the 90s and early 2000s, you would have gotten a lot more Uncle Luke type answers. So,
give an example.
Ass. There
was some of that.
Yeah.
There must have been some old heads in the comments.
Oh, you know they are.
Right. Yeah. So fat. You know.
Well, no, I think you. Yeah, I think you got like a.
Man.
Hashtag fap guys.
Please don't use that hashtag.
We're using it on this episode. Okay, but wait, how did Jesse Spencer become Mr. Marcus? The porn star. Like, your name is synonymous with an entire industry. Mm-hmm. You do realize that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, after the fact. Yeah. it was actually, how did I come up with Mr. Marcus? Well, I was Marcus Love for like maybe one or two movies. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was corny. I thought the whole love thing.
A little bit.
And so, I don't know. I wanted something that had respect, mm-hmm. that would at least,
have a commanding sound to it.
Yeah, like commanded.
Manly.
It would, you would think it, mm-hmm. And Mr. Marcus just kind of just fit. Mm-hmm. So that was it, really. I just was I was driving, and I remember the producer, I called in and told him to change my name on the box cover.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing Marcus Love, and I just shot a new movie for him. So I said, you know, I want my name to be Mr. Marcus.
Yeah.
On the box.
I intentionally didn't do any research on you. Like very little. Like I have some notes just so I could have some facts straight, but I intentionally did not read any long form interviews on you because I just wanted my questions and the questions from the girls to be like completely authentic and like just
born genuine. Yeah.
Curiosity. So yeah. But I did read somewhere that you were a truck driver prior to getting into the porn industry.
I used to deliver furniture mm-hmm. for Krause's Sofa Factory. Mm-hmm. And so I would deliver from all the way from, I want to say La Puente, all the way through, you know, L.A. So I'd be all up in these hills delivering furniture.
So one day you were in traffic and you were like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to be a porn star. Like, how did that happen?
Well, you know, I wanted to be in magazines mm-hmm. because okay. that was the first things I saw were magazines. So when I saw a black man in a magazine, you know, and they were... And it was a hardcore magazine. It was mm-hmm. him and this woman. And they had this, like, the house looked like the Brady Bunch house. Mm-hmm. And I was
the
just
The Valley.
Like,
it was glamorous. Yeah.
It was just really clean. And the only thing that, it was just really simple. And, but the sex between these two, I don't know what it was. It just, I said, I can do that. You know, I thought I could do that.
Every guy thinks that.
To find out. Yeah.
News flash.
Well, you know, when you see these images, I mean, it's just like you see anything else. I mean, some things you can fantasize about mm-hmm. and some things you find, you'll find a way to actually do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it would be what it is right now. Here we are 2019, almost 25 years later.
Yeah.
But when I saw it then, which was back when I was about like 17, 18 years old, I was just kind of like, it's something I want to do. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, mm-hmm. but I'm going to work my way towards it, mm-hmm. making it happen.
Yeah.
And so that's how it led me to meeting the people that kind of opened those doors. And
what was it, Vivid Video back in the day? What is this, like 1994?
This is 19. Well, this is about 98, 99. And then I found my way into the industry when I was 23, so that was 2003. Mm-hmm. And it took a little while, but it was just a matter of like, I read a magazine, a newspaper that had an article in it about the porn industry, and the porn industry was having a convention in Las Vegas.
AVN?
Yeah. And it was a CS.
Adult Video.
News.
Yes, news. Okay. Yeah.
But it was in combination with another thing called CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show. Mm-hmm. So those two things were together because at that time, everything was on VHS, VCRs, entertainment, the whole home media, home entertainment was a big booming market. The adult industry was a big leader in that mm-hmm. in that field because their movies were now people were able to bring them home and mm-hmm. didn't have to go to, you know, at the time, little theaters. Mm-hmm. So it was all these things that kind of tied it in mm-hmm. and why it was there. So I went there mm-hmm. seeking out the porn industry.
Yeah. First day on a porn set. What was that like?
First day?
Were you nervous, first of all?
I was like naive.
I'm telling you, if you were nervous, you would know.
Like, yeah, you would know.
Well, I'm nervous.
Elastic bands on the base of your dick? Like,
I'm just saying. My goodness, Willis.
Oh, my gosh.
My God. That was vivid. Marcus, I apologize for Melissa. She had her Wheaties this morning.
I heard you, and I was like, what?
Elastic band?
No, because male strippers put elastic bands at the base of their dick and it keeps it, they get it hard
right,
and it keeps
right.
the blood. Fun fact, I was engaged to a male stripper. Yeah.
What?
I've had a past. Oh. Mother has lived.
Is that how you met him? Is that how you met him?
I'm letting you warm up because wow. I'm excited more than you realize right now. I have so many questions.
Okay, I'm about to let them loose, but first day on a porn set, right. Your first time ever. Was it everything that you expected it to be? Did it underwhelm you? Was it like, yes, I hit the motherfucking land. Like, this is awesome.
Truthfully, and I tell the story all the time because I showed up. It was in Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. The woman who brought me in was her name. Her name is Heather Lee. Uh-huh. She's who I met in Las Vegas when I went. I just met her and we clicked. She gave me her phone number. I called her. We ended up hooking up. We had sex a few times. She was like, okay, You know, I'm gonna.
Wait, that was your audition?
Yeah, I didn't know.
That's how you get into porn.
I didn't know.
So if you run into Heather Lee, man, that's how you get into porn. We give her full government.
That's still my homie too, actually.
That's still your friend.
That's still my friend. Yeah,
that is
yeah.
trill. Continue. Yeah,
yeah. Wow.
So I didn't know that was the audition, but mm-hmm. me and her clicked. You know, so she recommended me to a producer, and the producer hired me. I showed up in Palm Springs and. It was me, her, and another guy, Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't tripping. I wasn't, like, thinking about him because what we had to do was the photographs first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all these hardcore photographs. So I remember doing all the photographs, you know, it was a three-way. So towards the end, mm-hmm. the producer asked me, do you want to pop, which is the wap, what do you call it?
Fat.
Hashtag fat. Mr. Marcus looked directly at Chantel when he said fat. And she looked at her toes.
Okay, go on.
So I said, no problem, I can do that. So I popped. And then I remember, you know, so then the director was like, okay, give you guys about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, she'll get her makeup all done. Then we'll do the video. So I was like, okay, video. So, but I
don't know any guy that gets it back together in 20, 30 minutes. Well, I'm like, you need a Snickers bar.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. So you were a natural. You were.
Well,
you
no,
were
that's
for this.
That. I didn't get it back in 20 minutes.
Okay.
I could. It was like, yeah. It was like peeking in. I was just like,
so you had to learn how to pace yourself.
Well, I had to learn techniques. I had to learn techniques. Yeah. I had to find, you know, what worked and what didn't work. But so need to say that. I ended up, I'm on the box cover of the movie, mm-hmm. and you'll see me sitting there, and you'll see the other guy, Sean, and him and her, they're doing their thing, and I'm in the background looking, but I'm not in the movie.
So many emotions.
I have a question
about influence, right?
Right.
This is going to sound so bizarre, but the first time I ever tried to write a novel, I was like, what am I going to name the main guy in my book? And I was like, I'm going to name him Marcus. And it took me about like 3 months for someone to point out, did you name your main male character after Mr. Marcus? And I was like, oh my God, I did. Like, I literally wrote 100 pages of a novel where the main character is like named after you, right? Wow. And but that's, isn't that random?
Yes.
But that just shows like the influence you have, like how subconscious you're a part of this culture. Mm-hmm. And even when I asked my male friend, I was like, hey, we're going to interview Mr. Marcus. Do you want to come into the studio? He was like, nah, I spent my whole childhood watching that man represent me. I can't look him in the eye. Right? Like, he was like, I can't look Mr. Marcus in the eye. And so that made me think, like, what is the reaction that you get from men who you're trying to befriend and have relationships with, and women who find you attractive, but like...
Wait, no. That's a two-parter. Let's wait for the woman question.
Men are nervous. Like, he was nervous to come here and look you in the eye because he's like, that's Mr. Marcus. I can't look him in the face.
Whenever I'm around athletes, men are the biggest groupies. Right. They really are.
Oh, for anybody, for sure.
Yeah. But especially athletes. I'm wondering if they are, quote unquote, you know, like kind of groupie themselves out. Like, oh my God, dude.
Who is this man that you are mimicking Lewis?
Oh my God, dude. Some man is going to text her later like, were you imitating me all day on that show?
Some man in Malibu is mad at Melissa right now. So how do guys react to you?
I mean, like you just nailed it. I'm like an athlete to them. You know what I mean? So
that you are.
So when they say when you say what do you do about your male fans? I mean, they're just treating me like I'm an athlete, really. And I don't know what they saw and what they didn't see, and I don't know what they know and don't know. So,
you know what they saw.
Well, you know, I like to think that I've been around so long that it could be anything now, and I don't make any assumptions. So when I meet everybody, I just try to treat them the same.
So influence, you have kind of an athlete like influence on men, but did you ever want to be like a role model? I remember like Charles Barkley saying, I'm not a role model. It's like, okay, you may not want to be, but of course you are. Did you start in the industry wanting to be a role model, and did you embrace that influence as you were going along?
I embraced a lot because I went through so much. Can I cuss?
Oh, like a motherfucker.
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or maybe I already have and don't even notice it. I went through so much shit in the business that I had to find like, okay, you know, I need to have some balance here. I need to understand what people are expecting and what they've experienced, mm-hmm. and how I play a part in that. You know what I mean? When you're dealing with sex, it's, you know, there's a lot of, there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of different.
Favorite word here.
Yeah, I heard. Unpack. I was watching you guys on YouTube.
So. Mr. Marcus LeFan, promo time. Hey guys, do you like Mr. Marcus? Well, he likes us. That's amazing. Oh, I'm so happy.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
To seize the moment, girl.
Oh, that was
trying to get a check.
I'm doing a jig behind my eyeballs. Okay, I'm like, fuck yeah. Okay, continue.
I got you. I would hear all different kind of stories and see people going through different things in their background in their life. So, you know, I just wanted to be just kind of help them through it. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. Offer insight and experience, some laughter, you know, whatever, a serious conversation. It just didn't matter. Everyone was different. Mm-hmm. So I guess with that, it just kind of started happening. I'm really into quotes. I'm really into, self-worth or self-improvement. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, just overcoming your challenges, just finding value in things, you know, working through problems, mm-hmm. trying to keep the light on.
Sidebar.
That's
so
beautiful.
He and I have met before. Don't get any motherfucking ideas, people. I was at Aaron Magruder's house, the guy who created the Boondocks.
Mm-hmm.
Genius, okay? So he had this house that was just like this creative house. You know, you go to the house and they've got like, you know, easel set up and they've just got like storyboarding and stuff like that. And they smoked a shit ton of like the best weed I've ever smoked in my life. It was literally like, what's this weed called? The guy who came down from the mountain is what they called the weed.
Oh.
Yeah, because he'd come down every, I don't know, they never knew when he would show up, but they always kept $5,000 on reserve for this weed.
So Aaron's house gets robbed after this story.
It's been gone. But here's the crazy part is like, I remember smoking this weed and wondering like, why do I want to write a book? Like it really made you super creative. So one day I'm at the house and everybody's just kind of like, you know, drinking, smoking, whatever. And he's sitting, I don't know, just over yonder. And I was looking around. I was like, the fuck is that? You're just sitting there looking like a pit bull. And my girlfriend was like, you don't know who that is? I was like, no. That's what I'm asking. She was like, it's Mr. Marcus, the porn star. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I've never seen you before.
Right.
I was not an avid porn watcher, so I had no idea what you look like. And I was like, oh. Okay.
She's trying to say you were fine.
That's what I was saying. So then we ended up talking.
Right.
Come to find out, he was brilliant. And I was like, brilliant porn star. I would have never connected the two. But then, you know, as I've gone on in life, I've started to realize that the labels that, you know, society kind of puts on you just only show the tiniest little window into like who you actually are and how multidimensional you actually are. Mm. So people are always focused on like, you know, just your prowess in the bedroom and women and fans, et cetera, et cetera. But what's something that you've never told anybody, like in terms of like a personal, like who you are as a person that most people would like not, like you collect bottle caps. I don't know, some weird random shit, you know, that humanizes you.
I mean,
it's easy to not. It's easy to objectify you.
I don't know. I mean, born here in LA, you know what I mean? So I've been all up and down these streets, all up in these freeways.
I don't know. No.
Nah. Okay. Nah, I mean, I'm actually real chill. I like taking pictures. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of worked in the porn industry because I love taking pictures. So I don't know, man. I'm just kind of like to travel, love to read. Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite author? What's your, what are your favorite books?
Right now I'm reading Stephen King's book. It's just called Stephen King on Writing.
I love that book.
And it's,
I have a friend who reads that book every year. I love that
book. Good.
Yeah.
It's a really good book.
It's cut to the chase. You get an insight. You get a little insight of who Stephen King is, what motivates him to write, which is something that we all have.
And his discipline. Mm-hmm. He's very disciplined.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a writer or are you a writer?
I mean,
I have a book.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I put a book out and I'm working on the second one. I write down. I try to keep a journal. I do voice memos. I'll do thoughts. My note things on my cell phones, my iPad, my laptop is full of just thoughts and ideas and quotes that I hear people say, and discussions I have, conversations when, you know what I mean? So songs, lyrics. So it just kind of just accumulate.
You're creative.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been slut shamed? Yeah. Because women, like, I'm going to be honest with you, right? Right now, you're chill, you're very zen, you have depth. Like, this is like so lovely to see the other side of Mr. Marcus, because we've seen a certain side of you, right?
This is Jesse.
Right. We're meeting Jesse right now. But a part of me was like, if he was a woman, like, I wonder if, like a superhead or something that was sitting across from us.
Funny would that you say superhead.
I've seen that video.
Quite
video. But a part of me wonders, as a man, have you ever been slut-shamed? Or do you think that your gender has made it more, with less teeth than if it was a woman who's being slut-shamed? Because not all slut-shaming is created
people,
equal.
People can be mean, period. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, with the social media and the way that, you know, the comment. I remember reading comments on YouTube. YouTube was the first like a wave of negative comments that I would read. I was like, wow,
YouTube is fucked up.
Brutal.
Like, the comments are brutal.
So
not on our page though. You guys are awesome.
Ding.
Right.
I don't know. Everybody's ready for these promos. Yes.
Okay. So the YouTube comments, they
well,
were.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I first read those things, I was like, okay, that's brutal. And then Twitter comes along and Facebook, and you know, so the more you hold people accountable, the less they'll say. And then, then if they have a strong argument, then you know, they'll voice it. So I always look for something that was just intelligently said that made sense. Like, oh yeah, true. Yeah. You know what I mean? Male prostitute or, you know, STDs or you know, you must have been, I don't know,
damaged goods in something.
Background.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, when you see all those things, it's true to some extent for someone, but the fact that they're trying to be, you know, brutal about it is like, it says more about them than it does about
me. Were your feelings ever hurt, though?
Huh?
Were your feelings ever hurt, though?
I mean, you get thick and real thick after a while.
Yeah.
After a while, you start to realize who people are, and that's what the zen comes from. It comes from the opposite of that.
That's true.
I guess my question is like, okay, so a prostitute is someone who gets paid for sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, how would you separate what you do from an actual prostitute? Because at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, it's a, I would assume a prostitute's a performance too, but at the end of the day, you're being paid for sex. So what is the difference?
Well, I was thinking two things. One is, you know, the model release and then the fact that you're documenting it. And then, the other thing I guess would be that you enjoy it or you're getting paid for it, but try to enjoy it. You know, if I was getting hired to shoot a scene with someone that I wanted to work with, then it wouldn't feel like work. You know what I mean? I wouldn't.
It doesn't seem like people just say, hey, I'm going to be a prostitute, you know? Like, it usually is something that, you know, the downtrodden kind of fall into as a means of survival, whereas porn seems to be.
You have some control over it.
Yeah,
you have some
it seems say. Like most people, that was their goal. Like, they were intentional about that. I mean, even.
Not everybody.
I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying the majority. Like, the majority of porn. So, I mean, I've been to AVN. I've talked to a lot of the women, and they were like, no, this was what I wanted.
Yeah, it's different. It's way different now. I mean, when I started, it wasn't nearly as large as it is now. I mean, look at Pornhub, and, you know, I go there every once in a while, and it's just a lot of amateurs, you know. People are filming with their cell phones and uploading it, you know. I always say, you know, there'd be some guy in a bedroom getting a blowjob with TV in the background and shit. And, you know, and I was like, that's people are making their own porn now. There's no creativity to it at all. They just want to capture something sexual and share it.
It's crazy because even the word prostitute, I had to sit with that while you guys were talking about how I felt about that word. Just because we live in an age where sex workers
are
not. They're categorized in the way that they used to, and there are people who go into sex work for a myriad of reasons. You know, I love a little teachable moment.
This is a little teachable moment
of the day, guys.
Yeah.
So, talk like, for example, the trans community, there are a lot of people who are trans who cannot get a job. And so if they want to eat, something as simple as eating or finding housing, they end up doing sex work because mm-hmm. it's literally the only way they can get even $20 to feed themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Survival.
Survival. Then mm-hmm. there's the members of the LGBT who get kicked out and are homeless because their family, for religious or traditional reasons, don't want them living with them. Mm-hmm. Now they're on the street. They're doing sex work for survival. Mm-hmm. And so I don't ever personally assume that prostitute or sex work, whatever a politically correct term you want to use for yourself, I don't always assume that it's a character flaw. Sometimes it's a circumstance of survival, and we don't know what we would do if we were in those same situations.
And a lot of times,
but at the same time, we have a choice on how we make our money and how we don't.
Like, no, we don't. We don't always have a choice.
We do. Like, that's like saying, okay, so I couldn't go get a job, so I chose to sell drugs. Like, okay, I had to sell drugs. You know, you chose to sell drugs. Like, you could have gone and gotten flowers on the side of the street and sold flowers on the side of the street. You could, like, you know, you can sell food. You can
How do you sell food, though?
Well, I was
sell food. If you're 17 years old and you're out on the street and you've been left with nothing because your father has called you the F word because you're gay, or has called you a freak because you're trans or something, in that moment with you and nothing but a book bag, you can't sell flowers or sell food.
We've all had bad things happen to us and chosen how to rise above it, how to not go there. Now, if you're going to choose to sell your body, then that's one thing. But to paint it as, oh, I'm doing this because I have to, because my circumstances were bad, I don't know about that.
I don't think I said they had no choice. I said it's a valid choice. So having a valid choice is different than no choice. Mm-hmm. I personally am never going to judge someone for figuring out how not to die, like how to survive, right? So my question to you is, like, now that the conversation around sex work has become a lot more political and empowered, mm-hmm. and even right now in this disagreement, there are people who don't automatically hear sex work or a prostitute and vilify them. How do you feel the landscape of porn has changed as a result of that? Or do you think everybody's just trying to get famous because they want their 13 seconds of fame on Pornhub?
I mean, sex work has been, it's always in the news, mm-hmm. What's happening? I think there's Trans Week coming up or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's that discussion wouldn't have happened 5-10 years ago, but it's happening now.
Very true.
And I think you know, to your point, I understand. You know, trust me, we all have choices, and sex work doesn't necessarily mean you're having sex. Sometimes you're just a companion. Sometimes you're just, you know, you're a dominatrix, or maybe you're just, you know, a foot fetish thing. It's totally changed now, where you can utilize the technology and the apps and the software to make money with it. And people, and I think our industry is, which has always been kind of like a foretelling or leader
yeah.
within, you know, adapting these things first. Mm-hmm. You know, people are really raw. The first photographs probably were about people having sex. I mean, it was photographing our bodies. Mm-hmm. And so these things have progressed. That conversation continues. You know, this contributes to it. You know, I would say to anybody, I mean, you don't, sex work is, if you're going to go that route, we're just trying to make it safer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think that you have to put it out there. Not everyone has to go to the degree of having sex mm-hmm. or prostitution, or, you know, maybe there's, you know, there's so many different avenues and industries that have been sprung from the idea of the sex industry, mm-hmm. you know, strip clubs, music, photography, modeling, Instagram models, sex toys. I like sexual enjoyment, sexual education. You know, the curriculum has to change as far as teaching the kids, because mm-hmm. now they're bombarded with images of sex. It's on our cell phones. You know, you don't have to go nowhere. You don't have to pull up a laptop. You don't have to go home to your TV anymore. You can be on the bus.
It's extraordinarily accessible.
It's very, yeah, so very, I think, so you have to have the education that comes, the discussions have to come with it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the fact that, you know, I've been seeing the word sex worker, and I wasn't, you know, a lot of words. I was, you know, I got in 94 and I was
old school. You're like,
yeah,
what is,
you know, yeah, we just call right. that. Yeah.
Right. So it was adapting to all of these new technologies, all of these new attitudes, all of these new, all this new way of thinking, you know, because of the bombardment of pornographic images.
Have you ever felt objectified? Like, has a woman ever, like, come up to you and, like, basically said, like, just of course. That's all she wanted from you.
Yeah, of course. I had a girl, she emailed, she got pissed. She was like, I want to fly you to the Hawaii, which I was interested in. She was like, well, I like that part. And she's like, but I want to dominate you for 24 hours. I want to do whatever I want. I was like, I don't work like that.
I want to know what she got wanted offended. To do.
I know. I was kind of curious, yeah. But
but then you didn't want to get there.
Don't be curious in DMs because screenshots matter. Yeah. What would you do if, because the Chantel's point is about choice, right? What would you do if Mr. Marcus Jr., like if you had a son who said, Dad,
have two daughters, right?
Yeah, but what if you had a son who wanted to go into the family business?
The family business.
Why does it have to be a son? What if your daughters wanted to?
We're going to get to that. Because the whole T.I. thing comes up.
Yeah,
where his son is like 13, 14, 15 having sex and he's got no problem with that, but he's doing the hymen checks on his 18-year-old daughter, right. Whether or not she, you know, signed the consent form. And I'm going to say it. She probably did it under a slight bit of duress.
Oh, no. He admitted it was under duress.
Thank you.
To answer Chantel's question, the reason why I asked son is because everyone's going to assume they know your answer for a son.
Yeah.
They're going to assume
go ahead. They're going to assume
that,
dick.
Of course, Mr. Marcus wants his son to keep, you know, the flag staff up or whatever, pun intended. Right, so I'm just curious.
Legacy son.
Legacy, right? And so we assume that black men are proud of their son for, excuse
exhibiting
my language,
sexual power.
Whole activities.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to know, like, how would you feel if you had a son who wanted to follow your footsteps? I think I can kind of intuit your conversation with your daughter, but I'm curious about how would you say to a young man who's like, hey, Dad, what's good?
You know, the way I think now is way different than the way I thought when I first started. And, you know, who knew it would be what it is now? So I would say to them now, I push my kids into college, and my nephew and my nieces, I'm pushing them into college, you know, just get education and then make your choices. You know, when I got in the industry, I was, like I said, I wanted to get in when I was 18, got in when I was 23. It's changed a lot. So I know all the pitfalls. I've seen the pitfalls. I've seen all the bullshit. So it's kind of like, I kind of would steer him away from it. You know, filmmaking.
Plot twist. You would steer him away from porn.
I would get him into filmmaking if he wanted to be, you know, because unfortunately, you know, it's forever. The images that I've done they're permanent. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No matter what I accomplish.
Regrets?
None. I mean, I regret business decisions.
Yeah.
or missed opportunities. I'm aware of those things.
Was there any Mr. Marcus sex toys? Like, you know,
I have a dildo out. Which
you
was
didn't
weird.
Have to bring any with you?
That wasn't in the research. Oh, okay. Was not expected. You too can take Mr. Marcus home, guys. Okay. Sorry, because I'm composing myself.
Okay, but when you were talking about some of the pitfalls of the business, you kind of chuckled. It's almost like you thought of something in particular.
I mean, shit, man. Yeah, I mean, I've been caught up in. I've been caught up in political stuff, mm-hmm. health scares, mm-hmm. You know, racism, mm-hmm. You know, but I think I was suicide, depression, mm-hmm. drugs, all those things exist, mm-hmm. you know, in any industry, to be honest with you, but more so in the adult. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was like, I just had to weather those challenges and difficulties, but also make sure that my fellow performers did the same.
Okay. All right. Well, that kind of brings the conversation to something pretty specific. Are we okay to talk about it?
Yeah, go for
okay,
it.
Okay, awesome. Love you. That's just fucking awesome.
Look at you asking for consent. Oh, I love that. Hit it.
Okay, so back in 2013, there was a syphilis scare. Apparently it's making a comeback like a motherfucker, because all I see is signs of it's all over the place. It's on buses, it's on
take buses.
They go by.
Oh, sorry.
You know, there's also billboards. There's one right on top of the Jack in the Box at Cahuenga and Sunset. Huge, massive.
That's very specific, Melissa. Wow.
I just drove by it on
my
way here.
That's
great
research queen.
It was almost like weird how fate it was, you know, mm-hmm. that you know, it's weird, it's random.
There
it's
you are.
Okay. So back to syphilis.
Back to syphilis. Okay, so back in 2013, there was a short moratorium on production of the entire industry
because there was a syphilis scare. Mm-hmm. And you came to be found as the nucleus.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the media misinformation, and I got caught up in, you know, there was actually, the scare was in Europe.
Okay.
And there was, in Europe, they have a whole different mentality when it comes to the porn industry. Like, those guys will continue to perform, mm-hmm. you know, because syphilis is a bacteria that's, you know, easily cured.
I was going to say, mm-hmm. I don't know what syphilis is. The only thing, the only, like, a kind of example I have of it is Evita. Movie with Madonna where she played
Don't Cry For Me Argentina.
Yeah.
There was syphilis in that.
She died of syphilis.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, syphilis
part.
Is
so back in the day, the shit ate your brain.
Well, yeah,
I mean, it's a bacteria, but it can, it has serious complications. No, if you don't,
yeah, well, but modern medicine, it's what
it,
what
I don't it, want it. Whatever it is, I don't want it.
But modern medicine is the cure, right, shot, like a shot of penicillin, and right, then you're,
right,
you know,
right. And so in. You know, and so you have the one end, I'm dealing with it, but the other end, you have to, like, educate people in the process, because mm-hmm. our industry was not testing for it.
Right.
They were testing for it twice a year, because mm-hmm. it was non-existent.
Yeah.
You know, they like to say that it was, you know, on its way out, mm-hmm. but it came roaring back. You know, there was cases in Atlanta, cases in Houston, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, the truth is, like, people were, I was a nucleus. Well, someone had to give it to me.
Right.
And no one ever came and said, hey, Mr. Marcus, I gave it to you, yeah. or I have it, or you should get tested.
Yeah.
It was just, I didn't know what it was myself,
right.
because the signs of it, or
I was going to say symptoms, like the symptoms, symptoms.
Yeah. The symptoms are, for me, I thought it was stress, mm-hmm. because, you know, I was, like, working a lot. I was worried about family. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and being in this industry for so long, I've had skin irritations, mm-hmm. whether it's from the lube, pubic hair, or the girls' pH levels are different, or, you know, it's a lot. It can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I'm getting tests and nothing's mm-hmm. coming back mm-hmm. as, you know, an STD.
Yeah.
I went to my own doctor because at some point I was just kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so then that's when I found out I had it. So mm-hmm. I took care of it, but our industry test wasn't on the same level. It wasn't on the same par. And so trying to get tested in the industry and get back to work, you know, I made some mistakes, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
They were like, you should have been up front. But, you know, people catch gonorrhea and chlamydia in this industry, or just in general, mm-hmm. and really just go get a shot and keep going.
Right.
And that was the mentality. That was the protocol.
Right.
You know, you wait 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you go get a new test, you go back to work.
Okay.
And so
did you get a
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You went back to work?
Yeah. I mean, I was fine, but the industry, we were also the same people that put those billboards up, mm-hmm. AHF, mm-hmm. AIDS, mm-hmm. Healthcare Foundation. They were also proposing to put, they were also proposing a condom law.
Yeah.
And so that was happening the same year that I was going through that.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And so.
So as a result of this whole thing, now condoms, you know, are, it's a law now?
Well, it's
a lax law.
Yeah, it's suggested.
It's suggested.
You know, if the companies go through the city for their permits mm-hmm. and licenses to shoot, well, then the county's going to require that they use condoms. Mm-hmm. And so most companies will shoot outside LA County, or they'll go to Las Vegas and shoot, or Miami, or whatever. And then there's only maybe one or two companies that just promote mm-hmm. condom use.
Yeah.
And some companies are actually, which I'm for, is condom optional.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to you if you want to use them or not. Because right. men or women feel differently about it. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Wow. But didn't you get your results and then, like, not show them?
Right. Or? Right. When I got tested, I went after I got cured and treated and everything, I went to the industry facility to get tested. The technician there, I told him what was happening. I told him I already got treated. He said, yeah, all right, no problem. We'll give you a test that has that omitted. What protocol were usually when you got chlamydia or gonorrhea, there would be a doctor at the facility who would say, okay, you've been treated, and there would be a letter or a note attached to your test. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen with my situation. And there was no doctor at that facility. Another facility told me after the fact, yeah, you should have came here. We could have had a doctor sign you off. But I took it in my own hands. I just, when I was going, you know, to share my HIV, gonorrhea, and chlamydia, results. I didn't show the syphilis because it was coming back reactive because there's dead syphilis cells. And so the test that they were giving me looks for syphilis cells. It doesn't look and see if you've been treated or those are dead or not. It just looks for those cells. It looks for any activity.
So you crossed out that positive.
I didn't cross it out. I just didn't show it. I just didn't.
It was an omission.
Yeah. I didn't show it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, because 2 years or maybe 3 years earlier than that, Darren James, he was HIV positive. He became HIV positive in the industry. Industry basically outed him on, you know, through the news media. He was blasted all over the news for having HIV. It was, you know, it was like a lead story for 2 or 3 days, shut down the industry. And the way they treated this guy, they didn't respect HIPAA laws, which were, you know, keep it private.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah,
if
yeah,
you, yeah. because if you right. get, because if you get HIV or anything in this in city of LA, you get a number, you don't get your name blasted all over the news.
Yes.
So I was trying to avoid that. I was thinking, you know, I knew I was safe. I knew I was fine. And I thought the medical facility I went to would assist me in trying to, you know, convey that if need be to other people. And so when all those things didn't happen, you know, and I didn't get the support I was looking for, I just took matters in my own hand.
I have a question that might seem, to me it's related to this, because this got a little bit heavy for me thinking about the shame, right? The shame that comes with that story of someone finding out that they have HIV or even syphilis and like being mocked for it rather than receiving the education and the help that they need. And whenever I think about conversations about shame and you should have done this, but you didn't do this, it often makes me think about spirituality as well, too. We called you Zen jokingly earlier because you are very chill. You're like a human incense stick. I have never been this calm on this show. I think my blood pressure has like tanked since you've been sitting across from me. I'm very calm around you, Mr. Marcus. Did not expect that. And so I'm thinking that you must be spiritual because I only react like that to people who are spiritual. But then I'm also sitting next to someone who I know is Christian. I'm sitting next to Melissa, who's also very spiritual. And it makes me wonder, what is your conversation around spirituality and the way that you navigate that? Because usually in a health scare, you talk to God, you would go to church, whatever. But when you're an adult film star and you're going through stuff like this, do you have a church family? Are you someone who is Buddhist? Like, what is your spiritual practice, especially for moments like that where shame and we tend to look for God in those kind of moments. And who is your God? I never thought I would ask you that question, but right now it feels like
you just asked Mr. Marcus, the porn star.
Who is your God?
Who is your God? Yeah,
right.
You're the same God you have.
Oh, I love that answer.
We all share the same God. You know, and no matter what we go through and how people want to judge us and shame us, and, you know, all that matters is what he knows and you know your relationship with him. You know, people project a lot of their views and ideas on to other people. You know, and you're supposed to feel like this or think like this. Like I said earlier, when I read someone's comment, I look for something intelligent or a good point to be made or something, a thought or perspective I hadn't thought of. But I'm not going to sit there and argue with you. I'm not going to sit there and get angry. I may feel something, but I got enough thick skin and I know that this world is, you know, you just got to push through it, push through the bullshit, push through your mistakes. You know what I mean? If God gives you a new day, then try to do something positive with it. You know what I mean? So that's where all that comes from. I pray. You know, I've lost family. I lost my sister, in 2010, 2 years before I went through the whole syphilis thing. And, you know, it was a lot of, she left behind 3 kids. So it was like taking care of them, taking care of my kids, all off of a porn career. You know what I mean? That was under attack. That was being, you know, fucking thrown out, just misrepresented, you know, misleading, and all everything that led up to it and that came after. So, and, you know, and then I'm a willing participant in social media. I've been doing that since 1998. That's when my website was active in 97. I had emails. So I've always been accessible. I've always had, you know, my number's been the same for 15 years. You know what I mean? So I'm not running from nothing. So when you got to deal with these things, it's just, you better come at it, you know, strong and correct. And I think that's pretty much my nature now. You know, I'm at peace because I know this city pretty well. I know where to go to get away from things. I know where to go. I'm not stuck on a 4 or 5 all the time. You know,
that so, is a blessing in itself.
I know how to find those places where, you know, no one else is there.
Yeah.
And find peace in it.
I think shame is really a monster. Like, shame is awful. And I never want anybody to feel shame. I think when I think of this situation, I'm like, okay, like, you don't want to be outed. You don't want everyone to know. But at the same time, it almost feels like using your penis as a weapon because you might suffer the consequences of whatever, somebody giving it to you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now I'm at risk, not me personally, but if I am in a scene with you, or if a woman is in a scene with you, now she is at risk for developing this illness that you chose to hide. And mm-hmm. so I don't know, you don't want to shame somebody, but how do you balance that with putting somebody else in danger?
Well, to do it all over again, I wish I would have been like, hey, you guys, I got syphilis, you know, go get checked. That's what you should have did. But I was already, you know, dealing with thinking about how they treated Darren James. And it was like, well, my doctor, when he gave me the results, he was like, you know, it's a simple thing. Just go get treated. He didn't make it a big deal. He was just like, you can go get a shot. You'll be fine. I was like, all right. And the industry protocol is don't work for 2 weeks, which I didn't do. So I did everything on the personal side and professional side. So I didn't feel like I had to, I was like, well, I'm fine, right? I didn't, you know, I looked at the other performers that I worked with after all this blew up, and I checked in on everybody. I was making sure everybody was good. And it was, the fortunate part about it is no one caught anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, it was just me. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I just got it. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, I said, well,
you know. Have any idea? Like, did you catch it on set?
Or? You know, I thought I got a lap dance once from the stripper.
Wait.
And I said, well,
more than a lap dance?
Right, a lap dance? No. Did you get syphilis from a lap dance?
Well, she was, that's the only thing I think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was it. And there was a girl I worked with that was from Europe. And then I worked with her, and then she went back to Europe, and then they had this big outbreak in Europe. So I thought maybe it was her. And so, you know, I had this weird, maybe I got it from lap dance, but which was not the case. It was had to come from some kind of intercourse, and she was the only person I could think of. Because she was gone as soon as that everything started happening. She was.
Have you reached out to her?
Nah.
I mean that was a long time ago.
It was so long ago.
When it happened, did you ever think, when you were running it back in your head, did you think I should reach out to Sophia, whatever her name is, and
well, he was see saying, what's popping? He said that Europe was having an outbreak itself, yeah, so outbreak. That's why he's drawing the connection of the, European girls.
You're
girl,
very
so.
Zen. Yeah. You are very zen.
He's very zen.
I would have called Sophia or whatever. We're giving her a fake name.
I mean, I've had people were coming at me with more. They all had, you know, those girls that had syphilis in the industry.
Okay.
And they didn't, you know, they had it and treated. I didn't know. But once all that came out, a few in confidentiality came to me and said, hey, I had syphilis, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You should have just came out and said it. I said, well, and I was thinking, well, you didn't tell me you had it. I didn't know you had it. I don't, right. You know, I don't know who has gonorrhea and chlamydia. No one's running around saying I got these things. You know, it's you find out you have it. You go get it treated. That way of thinking had just been persistent for mm-hmm. so long that's the way I thought. You know, obviously now the tests, they come with do not alter the test. It's watermarked on the test. They have a pass system so you can check in online. So now when you want to find out who you're working with, you check their ID on a database that they have that's uploaded. Not everyone uses it. They're trying to integrate it, all the different testing facilities from here to Miami, but they're coming on board slowly but surely. And I think people are more aware of syphilis, obviously. They test now for every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. At that point, it was only for every 6 months. You know, when I first started in 94, we used to get an HIV test every 3 months. That was the only test that we had. And so we would shoot and work for 3 months. And it used to be down in, there was only, the only testing facility that we had was down in Santa Monica, and it was for $60. Mm-hmm. And that's what the test, now it's like, $200 and something, and it's every 2 weeks, but it's a full panel. It's it's HPV, it's gonorrhea, syphilis, you know,
all that shit.
All that shit.
This is sobering. Can we talk about girls?
No, I know. I mean, because I feel like, I feel you. I understand where you're coming from.
I was going to lighten shit up.
I was like,
Work is a heavy topic in general. Like,
well, you know what?
I agree with Blue. You are so chill and you're so zen, which is why, like, I appreciate this conversation. Like, I feel like I'm talking to Jesse. I'm not talking to Mr. Marcus. I'm talking to who you are. And so, but as that, you know, there are certain questions that we have based on the choices that we make. So I appreciate this conversation.
Well, let's talk about love.
Let's talk about
love. Let's go from syphilis to love.
Well, let me just say one last thing. If you, you know, because I was thinking, okay, this has to be a teachable moment, right? If you got any questions, whatever, just go get tested. Just you'll feel better. You'll know your status. People, so why don't you wear condoms? Just go know your status. Everyone's different. Yeah. Everyone reacts differently to different things. So, you know, just. It's better to know than not to know.
Yeah, some people
You're
are
so emotionally responsible. I love that.
Yeah. It's probably, you know, it's probably learned along the way.
For sure.
Not everybody learns, by the way.
Yeah.
I will say this. You're humble. You're zen. You're lovely.
Yeah.
Not everybody chooses to evolve in the way that you have.
Right.
Right now, there's some aging former porn star who's just a complete asshole.
Bitter.
Yeah. It's like, I just want to be clear that, like, not everybody chooses to get better. Some get bitter. Right. And so I'm giving you credit for the fact that you chose this.
Get better, not bitter.
Okay, so your girlfriend found out about your career while you guys were, what, in a Blockbuster? Or just in a video store, and you just happened to be on a box, and she was like, this guy kind of looks like
him.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, that's really what happened. I just gave you credit for emotional intelligence.
This was back in 90-something.
This is, what, 94, and... motherfucker thought he was invisible and shit.
I don't know.
Like, she's never going to see this.
You didn't feel like that was something you might have needed to tell her, like informed consent, you know, like, just let me make a decision on what I'm getting myself into. That might have been something she wanted to know.
What would you do if you found Mr. Perfect tomorrow and you found, and like, you found...
No, Melissa, let's paint a picture, because we do story time here.
Yeah.
He's 6'10". Okay? We gotta bring it back. He's 6'10". Okay. He loves the Lord.
Yeah.
He can dribble a ball.
He ain't doing porn if he loves the Lord.
Can I finish? Actually, you can. Mr. Marcus has showed you that you can...
No, he said his God is the same as your God, but that is not the same as my God.
No, not that he does porn.
No.
He did porn.
Yes.
And then he quit.
Let me finish painting my story time.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so he's 6'10". His skin is exfoliated. He loves the Lord.
Okay.
His FICO score is above a 750.
Oh, come on.
Okay. And he could also play basketball with you, and you might not win.
Yo, let's go.
So all these things are wonderful, but he went through a serious whole phase. And you guys are just clicking through whatever.
Okay.
And one day you guys run into someone who's like, hey, aren't you Mr. Jackson? Now, how do you act when you find that Mr. Jackson, the perfect man in 2019, was out here laying it low and spreading it wide back in the 90s?
I have a question.
He's got a page on Pornhub.
A whole page on Pornhub with a dedicated picture.
Okay, awesome. Question. Is this a current porn career, or is this a past porn
career? No, past porn career.
Okay, great. I believe in repentance. I believe in anyone in Christ is a new creation. Uh-huh. I believe in that. So if he genuinely loves the Lord, he is a disciple of Jesus, he has repented and been baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, then
that's the list?
That's what the Bible says.
Okay.
Okay. That's what the Bible says. So if he has done all of that, then I don't care what he's done in the past. Now, we will both be getting tested before we get married, just to have a clean slate.
Well,
but for me, like, I'm not in a position to judge anybody. Like, I haven't been intimate with anybody in 6.5 years. But before that, listen, we all had our time. I have not always been Christian.
Come through, Chantel. You want to talk about your whole face, Chantel? This is getting good.
No, I'm just saying.
I've been waiting for a reason to do this. Chantel, tell me more. about your whole face. Paint me a picture. Picture it.
No, but all I'm saying is I have not always been a Christian. I have not always been saved. I said I haven't had sex in 6.5 years. That means that I haven't.
What were you doing 8 years ago, Chantel?
Enough. More than now. More than now. Okay?
Okay.
So, but what I'm saying is that it was a current career, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't, oh, sorry, baby.
With
current.
No, I mean,
she's pivoting it back to you.
It
wasn't too high. She's pivoting
it back to you. No, not at all. We can talk about me.
That was finesse. She pivoted back to you.
But my thing is, it was a current career.
It was fledgling at
the time. It wasn't, oh, hey, I used to do this. I have now changed my life, moved on. And this was the video from 10 years ago.
You didn't get any action. You were just the voyeur watching, right?
Well.
Okay.
Yeah, that probably was the one. She never
told me. You're like, I didn't do anything in the video. Right. I didn't do anything.
Nah. Right, you're like, nah, you did.
That's something I would have wanted to know.
Yeah, like, well, you know what? So, you know, I'll tell you the truth is that's how it works in this crazy life. Uh-huh. Me and her, we're still good friends to this day. Like, when I met her, we were just really compatible. Our sexual, chemistry was genuine, still is. We're just friends now, but then it was very sexual. And she knew this is what I wanted to do. She actually went with me. Once I failed in the Palm Springs, I had this decision to make if I'm going to continue it. Mm-hmm. And a producer that was friends with Heather Lee said, yo, you know, you want to shoot, you know, bring a girl. So I brought her. Mm-hmm. Okay. We got to the set and she got cold feet. Mm-hmm. So we went back to the house and I was like, and he hit me up like the next day and was like, yo, I have someone. Do you want to come and do it? And I was like, yes, I do. And that's where I should have told her. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I came out here, I did it, and I ended up bouncing back from that first scene. My second scene, I knocked it out.
You obviously figured it out.
I figured it out. Yes, you figured it out. And then not even like less than a few weeks later, she found what she found.
Wow.
She kicked me out. And but I held on to her friendship. Mm-hmm. And we've been friends ever since.
This isn't your wife.
No, my wife was, you know, I was when I met my wife, I met my wife in 96. Mm-hmm. No, I met her in 94. I met her the same year I started making movies. Mm-hmm. But I didn't tell her. I didn't tell her because I didn't, you know, there was no internet. There wasn't
informed consent.
But you didn't tell her because you didn't want her to judge you?
Well, you know what? Because we were dating. We were like maybe 2-3 months into dating.
Yeah.
Were you having sex?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my thing, in the porn industry, you guys have to get tested all the time, right?
Right. Right.
But then in your personal relationship, you're still having sex with this woman. So like, wouldn't that for safety reasons, like, wouldn't that need to be something she would know? She would need to know.
How old were you about this time?
I was
about 24, 25?
24.
There's your answer. Oh. There's your answer.
Y'all
buried
the lead. You should have said you were 20. Men's brains don't even congeal.
That part.
And you know, you're correct, but
I'm saying he had a mushy brain.
Well,
so you're 100% I don't know. Correct. But there were times in my life where, listen, I had to have conversations with people. I just believe people should be able to make an informed decision.
We all hope for that.
We're just explaining that mentally he wasn't even all there yet. So we're not excusing him.
And I mean, I didn't.
He's evolved, thank God.
It was like, you know, what am I doing? I'm making movies. This is what I want to do. This is what I want. I didn't know if I was even going to be with her. And I wasn't thinking. I was promiscuous, but not like.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. God, you got me reliving 1994. I'm like, jeez.
I appreciate the fact that you seem like a different person.
Everything worked out, man. My kids are good.
We did this on camera. Like, yes, definitely. I want to hear the happy ending of Mr. Marcus going off into the ether with his.
I'm just telling you straight. I mean, all these little, these marks in your life, these things that contribute to who you are, they shape, they mold you. You kind of figure out things. You understand each other differently. You know what I mean? It's just shit. You go through shit, and hopefully you come out through it. You come out of it okay. You know?
You're married.
I was.
Wow, I can't believe you were married.
How long
That's
were
amazing.
You guys married for?
Almost 10 years.
Okay.
But we were together for almost 20.
And you guys had two daughters together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, how about that? Wow. Mr. Mark is the married man with two daughters. Yeah, my daughter, well, formerly married now.
My daughter graduated from USC.
Okay.
What?
She got her master's in journalism.
Wow.
And then my youngest is into politics. She's into local politics, and she's 17, but she's taking a government class right now that has her going back and forth to Fresno.
How about that?
That's awesome.
Look at his daughters, okay? Yeah.
And you've never gotten her hymen checked, right?
No.
So Mr. Marcus this might be a provocative thing to say, but you sound like you're a more evolved father than T.I.
Well, I just Isn't see all the a... shit that comes with it. So, you know, yeah. you're just trying to drop little seeds of wisdom and knowledge and
help the, yeah, that will help them grow, right. But you can't stop them from being their own person.
And when men try to date them, you just tell them what the lay of the land is, or do you have a shotgun at the door?
He answers the door with a shotgun. Yeah, nah, like you should. No, I'm kidding.
I was cool. When I met my oldest, her boyfriend, I was like a third wheel. I felt like a third wheel. And I was comfortable with that.
That is amazing. Okay, we have literally run out of time don't you feel like you
I have so like many questions.
You can talk to forever.
Can I ask one more question? One question.
Make it quick, because okay, I've
one question. The people if who, you right now, as you are, could go back to 17-year-old Jesse and tell him, put that magazine down and don't do it, or you could just let him go.
What would you do?
I would definitely get into film. I just wouldn't have went so hardcore. Okay. I wouldn't have went so explicit. Because I mean, it's there now, and hopefully people enjoy it, whatever. But, you know, I would definitely just focus on filmmaking and acting. Mm. I would have just done that.
So not the porn industry, but the movie industry.
But I don't know. I mean, your hormones, and you got to realize, till you open up that door and then... there's people that respond to that sexuality.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it wasn't, I didn't get the no's. I got yes.
But
yes,
would you tell him to say no?
I would, there was opportunities. I would say, go for those opportunities, push farther. But you know, you don't know shit.
You don't know what you don't know until you know it.
Until you know it. Yeah. And then when you know it, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't go back. I can't go backwards. People are going to watch and judge, whatever, but you can't go backwards. I can only go forward. Yeah. So whatever I'm doing forward is probably going to be better than what I did in the past.
All right. Well, we are going to, is your book available on Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to put a link for Mr. Marcus's former, first book. You're writing a second one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you guys updated about that, because I know y'all found this shit fascinating.
Yeah. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. So thank you for being our dick in the box today.
Yeah. Like the most well-qualified
dick in the box that we may ever have.
La, 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 la. That sounds like Heidi. Like, wow.
Oh, my God. Okay. But stay tuned for whatever our next episode is. I don't know how it's going to compete with this, honestly. I don't know.
No, no. Oh, well, actually, I do have one thing I want to say. This is a perfect example of why you shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mr. Marcus, you're more well-adjusted than some people I've met who are prudes.
And many people. Yes. So, absolutely. That's why I wanted this conversation to be about peeling back the labels and showing how multidimensional, somebody that you might have had all these assumptions.
You're a real person! Yay!
We're so excited! All right, peace out, everybody.
Bye. Thanks,
bye.
Guys.
Bye.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.